Welcome to How Preschool Teachers Do It.
This is Allison Kentos. I am an early childhood educator.
And this is Cindy Terabush. I am an early childhood consultant.
This podcast is for parents and early childhood professionals.
Let our experience and research-based knowledge become your guide. Hi, preschool peeps.
Hi, peeps.
We're here today to talk about children making friends, and we decided that when this episode releases, it's a good time to talk about that. It's about a month, month and a half, depending where you are, month and a half into a new school year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The children have had a little time together, and adults begin to get concerned if they see that there may be children who are not actively making friends in the way that I or you define making friends.
Right. Right. So it's probably one of the biggest questions I get from parents is he making friends? Yeah. Is he making friends? How does he get along with others?
I totally get that. As a parent, when I sent my children off, I just wanted the world to love them. And that was at any age, right? I wanted the world to love them in preschool, elementary school, middle school, high school, and college. I just wanted them to be accepted and have friends and be joyful where they went.
Right.
Along with learning. But actually the two, social-emotional development and academic development, go hand in hand. I totally get that concern from all the adults. One of the struggles is that adults don't really understand how young children learn how to make friends.
Yeah, so we have a very adult understanding of what friendship is because we've developed through all those stages.
Right. Well, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
some of us.
So also, we all have a different perception of friends and what makes a good friend and how we are with friends. I see all the time these memes on social media, like I tend to be the absent friend. I'm very busy. I'm not always in touch. And people who are truly my friends understand that it's not anything about them or our friendship. And we're very happy when we are in touch and see each other, and they understand when we're not. And if I simply can't be friends with people who need to be all in your stuff all the time. Yeah. It's just not how my life works. And then there are other people who are different. There are other people who really like a very strong connection all the time and are far more interactive with each other. Same for children, right? Children's friendships are going to vary depending on their temperament and they have a lifestyle, their culture, their lifestyle, you know, whatever's going on in their families. But there is a step-by-stepness that children take typically to learn about friendship and how to make friends. If you're on YouTube and you see me looking over, I'm actually looking at references that guide you through the step-by-step. I'm not making this up. I have references. And so I'm looking over to the right at a couple of things. There are these measures of children's learning and development that are used in early childhood settings. They include tools like teaching strategies, objectives for development learning, or GOLD, otherwise known as GOLD, which is their assessment tool. Also, HiSCOPE has an assessment tool, a tool called CORE Advantage, some people call it. So we have all these tools that take us through the step-by-stepness of different skills. And that's what I'm looking at. They're based on research. So according to the research, step one, which by the way, does not take place in the first year of life. It takes place after the first year of life. In the first year, children are developing their connections with the adults around them. And they only really notice the other infants around them when something has happened, like they're annoying them or they're screaming or something like that. Otherwise they don't much care.
They
don't much care and they don't attach to each other as much as they attach to adults until they're approximately one. And these are all approximates because children develop at different rates. But the first step of children learning how to make friends is that there is someone up here, their own age, that they're happy to see, right? Yeah. The child arrives in the child care program maybe and that very young child is happy to see them and lights up and wants to be around them, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they're endlessly playing together or they're best friends. This is just someone that the child prefers. So we begin to see children's preferences.
Yeah, it's like they enjoy each other's company in the way that infants can enjoy company. Yeah. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The way young, very young people can, starting somewhere around the age of one. You know, they sort of get excited when someone comes in and they run over to them.
Yeah.
And they may want to, like, let's say you're all gathered together, that child might crawl over or walk over and sit next to that child. But there isn't a whole bunch of playing. Children at that age are still playing independently, by themselves, independent play, or they are parallel playing, which is when you're both using the same sort of toy, but you're not interacting.
Right.
So that's what they're doing. But they just kind of want to be near this person. We start to see preferences. Before the age of one, you see preferences for adult. They'll turn their heads toward the adult or reach to be held by the adult that they want to be held by. Then we start to see these going over to the child they prefer.
Yeah.
Right. But minor interaction, really.
Minor interactions. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember I worked in a toddler room when I first started working in early childhood. And there was this child who definitely preferred a classmate. And he used to, when this child arrived in the morning, he used to run over and just stick his face in this child's face. He would, like, face on face. Like, he was just right in front of him, kind of laughing and looking, but really, really close. And that's how we knew the preference. That's the sort of thing we're talking about. Or they follow the child around.
Yeah.
And that can continue for a year or two, surprisingly enough. Yeah. Year or two.
Yeah.
So after that step, they do begin to play with one or two preferred people. So first, they're showing their preference, and that can range in the amount of time that they continue to just do that. Then they take that preference, and they actually start to play with that child.
Yeah.
But not for extended periods of time. They're still very much parallel players, where they play with similar objects, but not together.
Right.
But they might do things like, you know, they'll go over and attempt to play the trains with you, which usually looks like grabbing them from you.
Yes. Or tearing apart the tracks. Yes.
Right. And that's their attempt to play with you.
Their attempt. Yeah.
Right. They might go over, add to, the Lego thing a child is building, leave that child, but then come back later when you're reading a book and want to sit next to that child.
Yeah.
So they are interacting a bit and wanting to be together. But that's, again, just with one or two people. We're not talking about you're going to be massively popular and have a crowd of people around you and everyone is going to be your friend. One or two people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that stage can last a year or more.
Such long stages, right? But it's kind of like I feel like it goes along with the stages of like how they play, and that's why, you know, like that parallel play that lasts a long time sometimes. And so the way you interact with children is going to be different when you're still in the parallel play kind of phase, and then as you move on, that's when I think the stages of friendship also move with it.
You know, we can dig more deeply into the types of play in a bonus content episode on Patreon.
Yeah.
So look for that.
Yeah.
Patron people. And if you're not a patron person yet, go to patreon.com/howpreschoolteachersdoit. And you'll be able to get this bonus content that we release once a month. Anyway, back to the friendship thing. So the next stage is that they start to have like a best friend, special friendship with one person, but it doesn't last very long. So that's when they are like glued to this one child, and it's their best friend until they're not. Until one day, one of the children may decide, no, this person's my best friend instead, and now you can't come to my birthday party.
Yeah,
that sort of thing we often see happening in pre-K.
Yes, it's a typical pre-K thing. I used to get into these conversations during lunch often about like, hey, he's not my best friend anymore. You can't come to my birthday party kind of thing. all the time. And it seems to be around that age always.
I feel so bad for the child who's been dumped. I really do. Because it's often without logic or reason. No, it's just, this is what they do at this age.
Yeah, there usually is no reason whatsoever. Or it's something like so minor that you can't control. Like, it's just, I always feel so bad. But usually it doesn't last that long anyway. Like, they'll find the one who has been kind of ghosted or dumped, find somebody new because he's in the same phase as they are.
I think it gives us a really great opportunity to start to teach children about other people's feelings.
Yes.
Something that they don't consider when they make these decisions to not be your best friend anymore. Yeah. You know, that we can say, you know, that hurts people's feelings when we say things like that.
Yes.
You know, and we can talk to them about how it feels when someone says, I don't want to be your friend anymore. And there are certainly books about that. I think it's really that age group, that sort of 4-year-old pre-K age group where we see them saying, you're not my best friend anymore.
Yeah.
I don't like you anymore.
Like, it's like used as a weapon a little bit. It's like they yes. I feel like they're trying to get a rise sometimes out of it. It's like they're trying to make a point. Yeah.
So it's especially weaponized among girls.
Yes.
And I know we've mentioned this in the past. Boys' emotions come out. Girls' emotions are internalized. Boys will get into outward arguments.
Yeah.
Girls will internalize their feelings. So there's a big difference. Yeah. And because of that, boys tend to be, when they're upset, more physically aggressive. Girls are more verbally aggressive.
Yeah.
So we will hear girls saying really mean things to each other. That's their form of aggression. It's no less a problem than the physical form of aggression. And I know we have an episode where we talked about aggression in the past.
Yeah.
And we talked about how you have to keep an eye on these girls, because just because they're not fist fighting or kicking each other doesn't mean they're not hurting each other.
Right.
This is one of the ways that they exhibit aggression, is to do that whole, I don't like you anymore. You can't come to my house. So we need to keep an eye out for it and use it as a teachable moment.
Right.
That said, it's normal behavior for that age group.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's not, you know, you can expect it. You can lay the groundwork for softening it before they reach that age by talking about the importance of caring about each other.
Yeah.
And yet it will still emerge for so many.
Happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they may only be friends for a little while. But they have established with one other child, like a best friendship.
Yeah.
And I find that families really love that and feed off that. And they're like, it's his best friend. It's his best friend. And then like next week, it's not his best friend. And that's baffling to families. Come to expect it.
Yeah.
Also, they're not going to necessarily be friends with your friend's children, but that's we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
So the next step after that one special friendship that doesn't necessarily last a long time is that they start to make friends and it lasts longer. And they start to realize, like, I like trains. She likes trains.
Yeah.
He likes trains. We should all play trains together.
Right.
Yeah. Right. They start to do that sort of thing, but that's really more kindergarten, first grade, where they start to say, you like, watching this show. I like watching this show. We should play with the toys that have to do this show together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, so they start to do things because they discover that they have common interests.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's
kind
of amazing to see that happen too. Like when I taught, because I taught pre-K for many, many years, and then had that one year where I taught kindergarten. And I was like, whoa, this is totally different than the friendships you would see there. Because those kids in my class, there was a group that loved playing soccer. And so when they got outside, they would be together at recess, and they always had a soccer game going. And that was their thing. And there was another group that liked to, like, pick daisies on the side of the, you know, they found their groups. And it was like this early on, seeing like how that happens, I was like, oh wow, they found their groups. And there would be some kids that would be like, hey, today I'm playing soccer, tomorrow I'm gonna go pick the rocks up. And the kids that floated around all the different groups, you know, but there was always like this core group, you know, of like 3 or 4 kids that would always play soccer, 3 or 4 kids that would be in the daisies and picking things. And they became really good friends. I say that because I think once first grade hit, they were no longer really into that. It's like almost like friendship out of opportunity. You're in my class. You like soccer. We're friends for this year. Oh, you're not in my class next year, even though you still like soccer. You know what? We're not friends anymore. It was and only because of opportunity and exposure, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, we're not friends anymore because now I have this other group of people that I'm around in my class, and I've got to find the people in this class who also like soccer. The reason they do that, by the way, why they don't necessarily maintain the friendship from the year before is because the very next stage, once they find people with similar interests, is to start picking people with qualities. They haven't picked people based on their personal qualities and traits yet.
Yeah.
They haven't looked and said, this person is so funny, I want to be your friend. Or this person is so nice, I want to be your friend. They haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
That takes place somewhere around like first, second grade, like you're saying, where they start to decide, oh, you know what I really like about this person? And it's a personal characteristic.
Yeah. Which has to be so hard for them for me, I feel like it must be so hard to figure that out. You know, because you go from like, hey, everybody who likes soccer will just be friends. I don't care if you're funny, mean, sad,
right?
You know, whatever. Right. I don't care. You play soccer, we're friends. You know, to I don't care that you like soccer. You're not a nice person. I don't want to be friends with you. Or you are a nice person, but you like football instead, and I could still be friends with you. You know, it's got to be kind of like this
and
hard
it isn't
thing to figure out.
It isn't until the early learning years are ending in like third grade that they realize you can be friends with somebody and not agree with them.
Yeah.
So they need to be in the preschool years. Like, let's think about this in like preschool years up to and including pre-K.
Yeah.
They are like still just doing that friendship for a short while. They're not even picking yet based on interests.
Yeah.
That starts more like kindergarten, where they start to go, oh, you like this? I like this.
Yeah.
Before that, it's adults saying, you like this? She likes this.
Yeah.
You should play together.
It's the adults
doing that. But until they start to do it on their own, it's not a skill that they have. So that skill of being able to decide, oh, you like this? I like this, is like kindergarten. And then the whole, oh, I like this about you as a person, is after that.
Yeah.
So we can, before those ages, say things to them like, oh, why don't you play with Joey? He's so fun and funny. They're not going to come up with that on his own, on their own. Nor do they much care about it before the elementary school years.
Yeah, I feel like you could also say that to your 3-4-year-old, and I'd be like, yeah, no, I'm going to go play with Johnny instead. Like, they're not even thinking about it. You know, they're not thinking like, oh, Joey's a nice person, let me play with that. I know my mom said he's nice, but man, I'd rather play with Johnny. You know, like, so they're not really listening to it. It doesn't sink in. It doesn't mean anything to them, I don't think, at that age.
Right. So we're always, as adults, very concerned that they should be popular and loved.
Yeah.
But just know that you're not going to see that sort of thing necessarily in the early childhood years.
Yeah.
And also, you know, there are some people, I'm one of them, I would prefer to have a small group of people who I know I can trust than 1,000 friends. And then there are other people who prefer
like
the
that.
Big crowd.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
That's why we get along. It's why we're friends.
Yeah. I have a core group of people and it's very small. And those are the people who I trust and who I know have my back no matter what. I could not talk to them for years and then get up and talk to them and they'd be like, it'd be like we never parted. I am not the type of person who have thousands of friends. Like, I'd rather just have a good relationship with a group of like 5-6 people than have like these little relationships with thousands of people. But that's me. And other people might feel differently, that they would rather be very, very popular and have a larger group to pick from, maybe, or whatever that reasoning is. I am not like that. It's probably the introvert in me. You know, it's a lot of effort to be friends with people. So, you know, and that's, you know, I think most of my friends are also introverts. So
yeah,
it
me
makes
too.
Sense.
Me
you know?
Too. But I think it's important when the children are very young to let them know, and I mean all of them, let them know it's not about the number of friends you have.
No.
It's about relationships and what those should look like. And we teach them about caring about other people, and we teach them about how they should be treated. Right. And we do that through treating them well. We model how they should be treated.
Yeah.
And we talk to them when they hurt someone's feelings or when their feelings have been hurt.
Yeah.
We have to talk to both of them. We have to, you know, talk about what does that mean? You know, what do you think that means? Is this somebody you still want to play with? When someone's been hurt, you know, we can't just say to the child who did it, oh, what you said was mean, say you're sorry. That child's a victim. Again, just like physical aggression, verbal aggression is very hurtful and needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can lay good groundwork in the preschool years.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily going to be what people who are concerned about the 2-year-olds being popular would like to see. That's just, it's not reality. So if you're somebody, if you're a parent who's been really worried about your child's behavior around friendship, some of it can be just typical development. If you are extremely worried, if there seems to be no socialization or interest in socialization at all with anybody, then that's something that may need to be evaluated.
Right.
And you can ask specialists, is this something I should be concerned about? Should we do an evaluation? And you can, those specialists under the age of 3, publicly funded specialists, are early intervention. And then over the age of 3, special education, however that's handled where you are. Where we are in New Jersey, it's handled through your local Board of Education.
Yes.
But it's different in different places. You can also ask developmental specialists.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick the pediatrician's brain, though they're not a specialist in socialization and development.
Right.
You can pick their brain a little bit. You know, ask someone if you're worried. Don't just sit and worry if you feel like, no, this socialization is behind what is typically done at this age.
Yeah.
There's lots of help for that. Lots of social skills teaching that can be done for all children, including those who have special education needs.
Yeah.
Right. There's wonderful work being done around social skills right now. So I hope you will seek that out if you feel that you need to. If you listen to this and you think, oh, wait, that's my child's doing that, I was worried, but that's kind of typical for the age, then great. Okay, folks. So encourage the children to notice each other, to be kind to each other. To look for children who have similar interests even before they realize that that's a thing.
That's a thing.
Just point it out. Look, you're playing with this. He's playing with this. Look at that. That's all. Look, you like dolls. So does this person like dolls.
Yeah.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, we will see you next week on this podcast, and we will see you on Patreon, hopefully. Catch you next time. Bye, peeps.